Part 3. You will hear part of a discussion between two environmentalists, Ken Forbes and Maggie Demas, who are talking about cars of the future and cyclists.
Before you listen, you have 20 seconds to read instructions carefully, and you will listen to it twice. You're ready to start.
It's my pleasure to welcome to our studio this morning two of my favourite environmentalists, Ken Forbes and Maggie Demas, who are here to talk about cars of the future and what they might mean for cyclists. Are we headed for an age where drivers will be given a quick scolding jolt every time they yell at a cyclist, Ken?
If predictions are anything to go by, that sort of corporal punishment might not be necessary, Joan. And that's because cars will no longer require a driver. Driverless cars will all have special built-in features like LiDAR, light detecting and ranging, and all-seeing cameras, so the old excuse of, "Sorry, cyclist, I didn't see you," will no longer hold water. These vehicles will be able to tell when it's unsafe for a passenger to get out of them as well. So the chances of a passing cyclist being knocked to the ground by a quickly opened car door will be nil. And when all the vehicles on our roads are controlled by infallible computers instead of all too human humans, there will be far less need for hard infrastructure. At least that's what people are predicting. What do you say, Maggie?
Well, Ken, that's one vision of the future, although to my mind, one that's just a little bit too optimistic, I'm afraid. Perhaps I'm being a pessimist, but the vision I see involves convoys of countless high-speed robo-vehicles tearing up our motorways, making our highways and byways even nastier than they are now. And those out for a pleasant walk or cycle might have to contend with even more rules of the road for their own safety. It makes sense if you think about it. If, as a pedestrian or cyclist, you knew that the vehicle that was heading towards you was programmed in such a way that it couldn't possibly hit you, wouldn't you choose to walk or cycle on the spacious main road as opposed to sticking to your narrow little walking or cycling lane?
Possibly, but whatever the case, I certainly think the authorities would have a harder time of it.
Exactly. Lanes meant for cars and lorries would be chock-a-block with pedestrians and cyclists happily making their way along, content in the knowledge that if they should meander into the path of a vehicle, it would automatically brake to avoid hitting them. The police, or whatever authority it might be at that point in the future, would be at their wits' end trying to clear the lanes of jaywalkers and, well, jaycyclists, if you will. And think about this. If cars were built in such a way that they could whiz through junctions and intersections without the aid of traditional traffic lights, where would that leave the hapless pedestrian or cyclist who simply wanted to cross the road? And for those of you out there in the listening audience who think that this is merely the stuff of science fiction...
Think again. A recent report out of America has stated, although somewhat ambiguously, that driverless cars will be here sooner rather than later. And Google has been hard at work on the cutting-edge technology that will be needed to get these cars up and running for quite some time now. And they say that their prototypes have covered over 800,000 kilometers on Californian roads. The people at Google sound far more definite when they say that you only need one hand to add up the number of years until driverless vehicles become a reality.
Yes. But it's not only tech companies that are beavering away. According to very reliable sources, a research team at Oxford University is currently working on driverless car technology too.
Right, and word has it that their technology will be more economically viable and simpler to manufacture than the LiDAR-based system. And, not too long ago, at an international motor show in Germany, the top brass of a major car manufacturer was overheard boasting that within a decade, His people would have got rid of any remaining glitches that they had in their autonomous driving technology.
Amazing, isn't it? But when all is said and done, what will all this actually mean for the cyclist?
Hard to say, Joan. In one scenario, I see more, not less, congestion on the roads because of the advent of driverless cars. I say this because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that once no special skills or permits are required to drive, more people will be on the road being chauffeured about in robo-cars. This means roads will be more congested, and in an attempt to alleviate this problem, cars will be made to go faster. Faster cars, high-tech or not, mean that the freedom of cyclists will need to be curtailed in one form or another.
And in your other scenario?
That one is a much brighter one. Because robo-vehicles will have the ability to stay on a very narrow path, more space will be freed up for cyclists. Thereby...
Now you will hear part three again.
It's my pleasure to welcome to our studio this morning two of my favourite environmentalists, Ken Forbes and Maggie Demas, who are here to talk about cars of the future and what they might mean for cyclists. Are we headed for an age where drivers will be given a quick scolding jolt every time they yell at a cyclist, Ken?
If predictions are anything to go by, that sort of corporal punishment might not be necessary, Joan. And that's because cars will no longer require a driver. Driverless cars will all have special built-in features like LiDAR, light detecting and ranging, and all-seeing cameras, so the old excuse of, "Sorry, cyclist, I didn't see you," will no longer hold water. These vehicles will be able to tell when it's unsafe for a passenger to get out of them as well. So the chances of a passing cyclist being knocked to the ground by a quickly opened car door will be nil. And when all the vehicles on our roads are controlled by infallible computers instead of all too human humans, there will be far less need for hard infrastructure. At least that's what people are predicting. What do you say, Maggie?
Well, Ken, that's one vision of the future, although to my mind, one that's just a little bit too optimistic, I'm afraid. Perhaps I'm being a pessimist, but the vision I see involves convoys of countless high-speed robo-vehicles tearing up our motorways, making our highways and byways even nastier than they are now. And those out for a pleasant walk or cycle might have to contend with even more rules of the road for their own safety. It makes sense if you think about it. If, as a pedestrian or cyclist, you knew that the vehicle that was heading towards you was programmed in such a way that it couldn't possibly hit you, wouldn't you choose to walk or cycle on the spacious main road as opposed to sticking to your narrow little walking or cycling lane?
Possibly, but whatever the case, I certainly think the authorities would have a harder time of it.
Exactly. Lanes meant for cars and lorries would be chock-a-block with pedestrians and cyclists happily making their way along, content in the knowledge that if they should meander into the path of a vehicle, it would automatically brake to avoid hitting them. The police, or whatever authority it might be at that point in the future, would be at their wits' end trying to clear the lanes of jaywalkers and, well, jaycyclists, if you will. And think about this. If cars were built in such a way that they could whiz through junctions and intersections without the aid of traditional traffic lights, where would that leave the hapless pedestrian or cyclist who simply wanted to cross the road? And for those of you out there in the listening audience who think that this is merely the stuff of science fiction...
Think again. A recent report out of America has stated, although somewhat ambiguously, that driverless cars will be here sooner rather than later. And Google has been hard at work on the cutting-edge technology that will be needed to get these cars up and running for quite some time now. And they say that their prototypes have covered over 800,000 kilometers on Californian roads. The people at Google sound far more definite when they say that you only need one hand to add up the number of years until driverless vehicles become a reality.
Yes. But it's not only tech companies that are beavering away. According to very reliable sources, a research team at Oxford University is currently working on driverless car technology too.
Right, and word has it that their technology will be more economically viable and simpler to manufacture than the LiDAR-based system. And, not too long ago, at an international motor show in Germany, the top brass of a major car manufacturer was overheard boasting that within a decade, his people would have got rid of any remaining glitches that they had in their autonomous driving technology.
Amazing, isn't it? But when all is said and done, what will all this actually mean for the cyclist?
Hard to say, Joan. In one scenario, I see more, not less, congestion on the roads because of the advent of driverless cars. I say this because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that once no special skills or permits are required to drive, more people will be on the road being chauffeured about in robo-cars. This means roads will be more congested, and in an attempt to alleviate this problem, cars will be made to go faster. Faster cars, high-tech or not, mean that the freedom of cyclists will need to be curtailed in one form or another.
And in your other scenario?
That one is a much brighter one. Because robo-vehicles will have the ability to stay on a very narrow path, more space will be freed up for cyclists. Thereby...
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.